setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. Thrilled to have you because we're talking about you. Specifically, who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. We're talking about moving from paycheck to purpose. I want to help you reframe work. The, I think, broadest, most popular worldview of work is that we work to live, right? Work for the basics, anything extra for memories, giving money to people to help them, that's all gravy. That's just not right. I think we were created to work. Another way of saying it is, you were created to contribute. And I think everybody longs to make a difference in the world. We want to help people. How do we help people? Well, certainly in our relationships, but also in our profession. And so work becomes more than just, I do this to make money. Now I'm doing this to make a contribution. So what's your unique contribution? We have seven stages that will get you there, doing what you were born to do. Stage one is get clear. Stage two is get qualified. Stage three, get connected. Stage four, get started. Stage five, get promoted. Stage six, get the dream job. To finally, truly work like no one else. In stage seven, by giving yourself away. It's not about money. It's not about notoriety at this point. It's about legacy. 844-747-2577 is the number. What stage are you in? We'll help you identify that and then what to do in that stage so you can move to the next. It is a climb, but you can do it. 844-747-2577. I want to address something that's very, very practical that all of us need to figure out how to do on this journey, and that is to have difficult conversations. But let's ratchet this tension up a notch because we get questions about this. We got an email recently saying, Ken, teach on this. So here we go. How do you have a difficult conversation with your leader? All right, let's first frame all the different types of conversations that might be labeled a difficult conversation. All right. One is obviously talking about a coworker situation. Maybe it's a bit toxic or it's just unhealthy and maybe the leader's not aware of it or you're not sure if the leader's aware of it. Something's been done wrong. There's an ethical situation going on, maybe even abusive situation, whatever. All right. So you got to go tell the leader. Now, there's just this thing in all of us where you feel like a snitch. You don't want to be a snitch, right? Kids are all over this in school these days. Oh, I don't want to be a snitch. You're a pariah of society. But look, sometimes you get to have difficult conversations around a coworker or, you know, again, an employee situation. Another difficult conversation could be, hey, I want to talk about more influence, more responsibility, more compensation, right? Just getting promoted. That's a difficult conversation for a lot of folks because you don't want to come across the wrong way, right? Another one is addressing actual problems in the business itself. You've been paying attention. You notice, hey, I think this is broken. This process is broken, or the product is not working the way it's supposed to. We're getting customer feedback. We got to address this. And so you don't think it's being addressed. You're not sure if it's being addressed, and you want to bring that up. Okay. So those are some examples of difficult conversations. All right. And the reason that they're difficult is, again, we are just by nature, we want to please others. We are relational human beings, and we don't want to come across the wrong way and affect our relationship and maybe even affect our job. So that's why it's difficult. And so what happens is when we face these difficult conversations and we get in our heads, because our hearts are saying we need to bring this up. But our heads are saying, whoa, be careful. And here's what happens. We get paralyzed. We just get paralyzed. We kick the can down the road. We make an excuse. We accept excuses for not talking about it. And the tension builds. Because again, our heart's saying, this needs to be addressed. But our head is coming up with all kinds of excuses and reasons why we shouldn't do it. And so you get stuck in the sense that you know you should do it. You're scared to do it. Nothing changes, but the tension is still there. And it just is going to eat away at you. So you have two options at this point. You either address it and let the chips fall where they may, or you just leave. But in just leaving, you've really not grown through this. You're going to face another situation. And so we haven't solved anything. So I want to just give you three little things here that'll really help you. Number one, go in with a spirit and even a physical posture of humility. Now, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. So, you know, it's like, I don't think that I'm less than. I don't think that my opinion is silly and trivial and shouldn't be taken seriously. No. You walk in with your shoulders back, confident. Think through what you're going to say, why you want to say it that way. So there's confidence, but we're humble in the sense that we're not coming in and we're not dropping an ultimatum necessarily, although I guess at times that could apply. But even in an ultimatum situation, go, look, I just need your feedback. I need your insight. I need you engaged with me on this. I'd like to engage with you. I want to know your take. So you're not coming in with a haughty spirit, haughty being all-knowing, arrogant, whatever, but you're not coming in where you feel like, you know, you're a dog that's been hit too many times. You're coming in confident that this conversation needs to happen, but open-minded, open-handed. All right, very simple. That's the spirit and the posture of humility. The second thing is that I want you to do is that I want you to ask questions, not make statements. There's something magical about a question that keeps everything open in the sense that you are not just dropping a bomb on them. This is what I think. Boom. This is what I think we should do. Boom. This is why we should do it. Boom. Those are declarative statements. And a declarative statement that is just kind of put on somebody, you are forcing them to either accept or reject what you're saying. There's just clear lines there as to what they can do when you drop a declarative statement on them. But if you ask questions, now you hand it to them to process how they feel. So now you're giving them the option. They don't have to accept or reject that. They must consider. Big difference. They consider. They ask questions. That's what you want. Remember, we're talking about how to do a difficult conversation. Well, a conversation implies that two people are going back and forth. If it's a statement, it's just like, here's the deal. I'm hitting a tennis ball at you as hard as I can. What you going to do? Versus, hey, I've been thinking through this challenge that we're facing in our business, thinking through this product, how it's coming across. I'm asking lots of questions on this. And so I wanted to ask you the same questions I'm asking myself. What do you think about that? You know, and so that's a posture of humility, but also it's an engaging tactic. We want to drive engagement. All right. So ask questions, not make statements. Final piece, give them a heads up. Give them a heads up that you want to have a conversation and what it might be about so they don't get caught off guard. You do that, you're going to win in difficult conversations. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover what you were born to do and then come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. So thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Hey, big announcement we made just a couple days ago, and we talked a lot about our Get Hired event, which was a wonderful success last night. Thanks to all of those who stayed in on it. Who tuned in for the event. It was a lot of fun. We have opened up 10 more coaching sessions, one-on-one coaching with me. That's right. 3 1-hour sessions. So we're offering that at $2,400. And because we are recording this, we'll actually let you have the recording as well. But we're recording this for a service and product that we're in development on. We're giving it to you at 50% off. It's normally a $4,800 value if you relate to my coaching time, what I charge for individual coaching. And so we're going to give it to you for $2,400. So you can get 3 1-hour sessions for $2,400 with me. And you can go right to kencoleman.com/coaching right now to sign up. Those positions are almost full, but we've opened them up. So we've got it's kind of a first come first serve, and I don't know how many have signed up. I haven't talked to Damon, the brand leader. He's not in today. But we just opened it up, briefly announced it. So we have some spots open, and it's a first come first serve. If you go to kencoleman.com/coaching, you can actually pay and sign up on a calendar right there that's connected to my calendar for your first session. You can go ahead and lock it in. Okay. So go to kencoleman.com/coaching, or if you got somebody you think would benefit from, 3 deep dive sessions where we're going to help you get clear. We're going to work on mindset, okay, emotions you're dealing with, and then we come up with practical steps. I challenge you with homework at the end of each session, coming into the next session. So it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. So if you want to do that, kencoleman.com/coaching, kencoleman.com/coaching. All right, let's go to the phones. Alexandria, Minnesota is where Anna joins us. Anna, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me.
You bet. How can I help?
Well, I started my career in accounting back in November, and a little bit late, but I'm coming up on my 90-day review this weekend, by the end of the week. Mm-hmm. And I would like some guidance on the type of questions to ask, kind of how to conduct myself professional and move forward in the company.
Okay, great. And so are you hoping that this leads to a conversation for you to get promoted?
Yeah, that, and I am only making $15 an hour, and so it's a little bit lower than what a typical accountant makes, and that was the agreement that I would then have a 90-day review kind of thing.
Great.
Hoping to get a raise with that.
Good, good, good. Okay, and so here's what I want you to ask. I want you to just simply ask, hey, they're already going to give you the review, right? So they're already going to kind of go through it. I want you to ask the additional question of, hey, what are some additional skills or training or responsibilities around here that you think that I could attain to add more value around here? Because I really want to grow here. And after my 90 days, I'm more than ever committed to growing. And so, you know, they're going to give you a review on what you've done so far, but I would ask for additional. Hey, beyond what you've shared with me, what do you think might be some valuable certifications or skills or responsibilities that I could add to my tool belt, if you will, so that I can become more valuable? Mm-hmm. I want that to be the first thing you say after they go through their, whatever their review looks like, okay? And so what you're getting at here is you want them to see that you're more than willing to learn more and do more. So you start with that, right? And then when they share that, that's great. And if, and by the way, before you even ask that question, if you feel like, they didn't give you a whole lot of constructive criticism, be willing to ask that. Sometimes leaders are just afraid of confrontation too. And so they'll just go, yeah, you're doing a good job, and go, hey, constructive criticism. What are some things that I'm currently doing that you think I could work on and tighten up a little bit, do a little bit better? That's a bold, strong, humble question, and then do the, what are some additional things that are beyond the current job description that I could do? I love those two questions. And then okay, after those two are answered, I'd say, hey, you know, I want to add more skill and more responsibility so that I can increase my compensation. So you always lead with getting better and doing more, right? And then that leads to higher compensation. So higher compensation never comes out of your mouth unless it's the caboose to the engine of, you know, where can I grow? And then what else can I do? So getting better, adding more value are the first two cars. The caboose is so that I can obviously increase my compensation. And then when you say that, you say, and then when they give you that, here's how you do those two things. Then you say, how do we measure that? Can we put that in writing in a plan? And then how do you and I measure that so that I know I'm hitting that goal and that I'm achieving what you want me to achieve? Because I just want to help you win. And that's all you got to do. Most people just don't even lay it out that way. And I think that will give you confidence, because you've probably got a good amount of nerves going into this if you're a human being. So let's acknowledge it's okay to have nerves, but the more prepared you are, and I just gave you the outline, so it's pretty simple. It's okay to write those things down, have them on your lap. That doesn't look goofy. Looks like a serious person to me. And so have those things in front of you, little prompts, and you can look at that, you can glance at it, look up, and it looks again like you're prepared. And so that should give you confidence. Get those shoulders back. Mm-hmm. Take some deep breaths. Study some body language videos. You know, watch Amy Cuddy's body language video on a TED Talk. CUDDY. It's great. Do what she tells you to do. Get really confident in there physically, because you should be confident mentally and emotionally. Got it?
Yeah.
You got this.
I had one other question.
Yeah, go.
Kind of tag along with that. I actually just completed the financial coach master training for the Ramsey Solutions.
Oh, great.
And I'm wondering if I should talk to my boss about possibly providing this as a service for her business and come. I don't know how that would kind of work together, but
what's the business?
It's an accounting business. So we do payroll, we do bookkeeping, they file taxes.
For individuals or small businesses or both?
Both.
Okay, let's practice on me. Okay, let's assume I'm the boss. How would your financial coach master training allow us to make more money? What services are we going to? Who are we providing that coaching for, in your mind?
So we could provide services to both individuals and businesses to help them get financial freedom to grow their business, which then in turn will grow our business, because we would get more payroll. They would have more employees. They'd have more payroll. There'd be more facets to
the business. Okay, great. Sounds good. Sounds good. I'd like to know more details. What specifically, and what three services? I get that's the big picture result, but what are the three ways we do that? Give me a couple ways that if I go to our small business clients and I go, hey, we're going to offer you financial coaching. This is specifically what we're going to do. Give me an example.
Bankruptcy consultation. I know one of my clients specifically is filing for bankruptcy, and I, of course, didn't reach out to her because it wasn't my place. It's not my business that, you know, I didn't want to step on any toes. But if she files bankruptcy, then it's her business. You know, not going to be
okay. That's probably going to be extreme. What else? Talk to me about the business owner that's not going bankrupt, and they're just spinning a lot of plates, and they're not running as good a financial ship as they could be. How are you going to come in and fix that? What are you going to do? Okay, so there's your challenge. I'm fine with you pitching it, but you got to be able to answer that question. So you've got to say, here's the nuanced differences. I'm going to come in and I'm going to help them with budgeting. At the end of the day, if you're doing financial coaching for an individual, you could do the same thing for a company by going, hey, what's your budget? Do you guys have an actual operating budget? How tight is it? How accurate is it? Do you guys hold to it? So you need to have answers for that. Okay?
Okay.
Practice that. You better come up with a really good case and then even some ideas on how much you would charge before you ever bring up this conversation. But hey, I like it a lot. Yeah, I want you to do it. Just go do more homework. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to Ramsey Solutions Studios, where we're coming to you live. This is a different kind of talk radio show. We're talking purpose, not politics. We're going to help you answer the question, what were you born to do? Or if you know the answer, but you're not quite sure what to do with that or where to take it and how to get there, well, we're going to help you with that, too. We're going to help you create the path and show you how to get there. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. It's a toll-free number, 844-747-2577. Kyle is up in Knoxville, Tennessee. Kyle, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. It's great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's a little bit about myself. I've been in the construction industry about 20-plus years now. I started in a woodworking shop, pretty much sweeping floors, and I've worked my way up to the, in the industry to where now I'm a sales designer for residential cabinetry. I love learning and new and doing new things, but I tend to find myself right now in a career that I'm using less of my, you know, talent and abilities, and I'm kind of trying to figure out right now. I'm 40 years old, so I'm trying to make the next 20 years a little more focused and intentional.
Good.
And so I have all these, I got a lot of different ideas, but having trouble trying to focus on maybe just one path.
All right. So give me the top couple of ideas, because I know there's just a few that are kind of getting more of your brain time and your heart time. So let's talk through those.
Yeah. So some of them are, I've been in the construction industry, I like working with my hands. So I'm thinking about one option is flipping houses, you know, buying, fixing them up, selling them, flipping them, doing that. Other options I've thought about is going back to school, getting a drafting certificate, you know, that way I could, you know, go into the, still be in the same industry and use my skill sets that I've acquired over the last 20 years.
Okay.
And then work in more of a shop environment, operating, you know, like a CNC machine, that type of environment.
Okay.
And then the third one is, I've always in the back of my mind, kind of always see myself eventually maybe owning my own place and, you know, having a business of my own. Woodworking. I love the woodworking field. I would, you know, right now, you know, I've been doing residential cabinetry, but I think maybe my more skill sets, I like to design. We'd like to get into the avenue of maybe more designing custom furniture pieces.
So are you more like right now people. Installing cabinets?
No, right now I'm a salesperson. I'm selling and designing new home construction for their cabinetry packages. So, you know, a customer will come in, they'll talk about what they want. I meet them on site, take all the measurements of the house. I incorporate a design. We use a program called 2020 Design. It's a, you know, a nice computer-aided drawing program. They give them 3D renderings of what they're going to do once final sign-offs are done.
Sure. So you're basically a knowledgeable salesperson because you know how to do the measurements and all that kind of stuff. And so it's essentially a combination of assessing and selling and serving. Fair?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And basically the way you started this off, you said, I'm in a job now where I'm not using my talents. So what talents are you using in this current job?
Right now, the talents that are best suited is I love designing. I have a kind of a design background, and I love the woodworking and the creating part of it. And
right, but you're not actually creating the cabinets right now, are you?
Yeah, right now I'm not creating the cabinets. I'm more of creating a design for the end product.
Great. So really, the only thing right now that you get the juice on is the design piece.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, great. Yeah, so let's go back to the three scenarios, okay?
Yeah.
So one was going back and getting some kind of drawing license or something like that is the way you said it. I know it's much more fancy than that. But then, you know, doing your own woodworking thing and then I hear all three of them.
Flipping houses was the first one.
Oh, sorry. That's right. Sorry. Flipping houses. Yeah, all these are kind of related, but if you're not in a situation where you've got cash, I'm not going to tell you to go into flipping houses. If you got cash, go for it.
Right.
Don't go into debt to do it. It's not worth it. The margins are too low.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell you, I heard Dave talk about that the other day. I was co-hosting with him. He's like, if you can't buy the house at 70%, okay, of its value, meaning so you got to have margin on the purchase. So 70% of the value plus your costs. So it's 70% plus what it's going to cost to fix it up. So I want you to have that in the back of your head. But of those three scenarios, if I guaranteed you wild success in all three, but you could only pick one, which one would you pick?
I would definitely be owning my own business.
I knew it.
My number one.
All right. So how do we get there? What's the best way to get there? I don't think it's going to school.
Yeah, I don't need.
No, you don't need any training. You don't need any training. You know what you need to launch that business?
What's that?
Permission. Not permission yep. from me, permission from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. Why couldn't you just decide to launch that business tonight? You don't have to go file a bunch of paperwork tonight, but you can decide tonight. Yeah. I'm going to start doing woodworking, and I'm going to start messing around 10 hours a week or 15 hours a week or 20 hours a week, whatever I can do based on my work schedule and my family schedule and all those responsibilities. But I'm going to begin to design stuff, or I'm going to take on a second job, and I'm going to bust it for a while and come up with enough money to then, you know, kind of bankroll version one. You don't have to hire anybody. You're the guy. Start doing woodworking. Mm-hmm. Start getting your work out there. Show your work. Give some of it away. Sell it for steep discounts to start creating some buzz locally. Win your zip code, man.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I got my own fears. Yeah, pretty much myself.
What are you afraid of? Wait. If you start your own woodworking business and you do that and you suck at it, who are you afraid of? You? You going to fire you?
No, I can do good products.
I know you can.
Worried about
what?
Wearing myself too thin, trying to, you know.
But wait. Who's in charge of your hours on this Woodworking Inc. business that we just started?
I'm in charge.
Yep. Oh, great. Great. So you're afraid of you? You're telling me you're afraid of your shadow?
Yeah, I'm my own worst enemy.
No, you're not. You're just dealing with doubt. But yeah. Nothing that I'm telling you to do right now is risky, is it?
No, it's not a risk at all.
So what are you worried about?
I guess it's the transition, because I know at one point, you know.
Wait a second.
At some point.
Wait a second. We haven't even discussed transition yet. The transition right. happens when the woodworking business replaces your current income. Let's run the numbers. What do you currently make?
Right now, I have a base pay around $42,000 a year. And okay. Then with commissions.
How does a guy, Kyle, who is as handy as you are, that can fix stuff and do way more than designing cabinets, but you can build stuff, you could probably do small reno projects, yes or no?
I could.
Okay. Well, why don't you go do that and start making more money and take your income up from 42 to 62 or 42 to 72? Because the economy's white hot around housing and fixing stuff up. Come on, man, go make some money and then put that extra money in the bank towards your woodworking business and just slowly dip your toe in it. We have to replace $42,000 a year. Get after it. Start today. Stop overthinking this. All right. If you want to change day jobs to do something more about what you want to do, then look for that too. And you can move into that. And you still have your side hustle going. You don't have to stay in this current job, but that's not the big issue. The big issue is you go, how do I get where I want to go? And I just told you, you got to start the business, start doing woodworking, start selling your stuff. Get it out there, man, because there's nothing to lose. Come on, man. You got this. 844-747-2577. You know, there's three words that most people need when it comes to doing their thing and getting started, and they're worried about how big it's going to be and how they're going to transition from day job to day job. That's the wrong thing. You know what you need to do? Here are the three words. Show your work. Show your work. Show your work. Keep showing your work. Money will follow. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get on purpose. That's right. You have a purpose. You have a contribution the world needs from you. Let's help you figure out what that is, and then how do you make that a reality? 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. 844-747-2577. Alex is up in Los Angeles, California. Alex, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, I really appreciate you taking my call. I love the show. And let's keep this between you and me, but you're my favorite Ramsey personality.
Okay, nobody will know, I promise. Thank you, sir, for the kind words. What's going on?
So Currently, I'm running my own mobile auto detailing business, and one of my customers is the owner of a real estate management company. So they do multiple things, from buying and selling homes, property managers, relocation services, just very real estate centered. So he had offered me an independent contractor position as assistant property manager, and I've had so far one phone call with the hiring manager, and she texted me for a follow-up call for tomorrow. And during our first call, one of the questions that she had asked me was, how much would you like to be making? And I said, $20 an hour on average. And that's a small part of the equation. But when I went to a mentor about this call afterward and told him about this opportunity, he said that I should be asking for more money and just some other questions that I should be asking. And it's not the money part. It's just when he said that, it just made me think, okay, I've never been offered anything like this before, but I'm really excited about the opportunity because being a landlord in the future and learning best practices is something I'm definitely interested in. And I also just want to learn how to be a good follower, as you say, and maximize my role and add value to their company so it can help me in my future endeavors. So really my question is just, what questions should I be asking them just so I can make sure that this is a good fit, for both parties?
Yeah, well, let me address the money thing really quickly because you've already put a number out there. So that's, to come back and say I want more could damage this opportunity. And I appreciate your mentor telling you that. But the problem is they already asked you and you threw $20 as a marker. And so that's in their head. If they decide to offer you the job and then decide to pay you more than that, then that's going to be a real blessing. And the good news is you just told me it's not about the money, it's about the experience. And you already gave them a number based on what you would need, what you'd want. So I would not raise the money issue anymore. It's too late. You've already put out a marker, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, the type of questions you should ask to determine if it's a good fit are things like describe what a win looks like in this role. Have them describe not just the duties, but what a win looks like. So I think they've probably already given you a job description, but if they haven't, say, hey, describe the job. Hey, what are the major initiatives? Like, what are the things that these are the things, these are my key responsibility areas. That's what we call it at Ramsey Solutions. So, hey, can you list out the key responsibilities for this position? And once they give you that, then you go, what's a win look like? So that means, how are we measuring that? So it's not just, I've got to stay on top of repairs and things like that. It's like, how do we measure success? Well, less than 5% complaints, an average turnaround time of fixing. I'm making this stuff up, okay? But that's the kind of stuff you want to dive into. What are my key responsibilities? And then how do you measure that I'm winning in those responsibilities? And then I would just say, what kind of person wins here? How would you describe the culture? Things like that, just to get them to give you a vibe for what they might be like to work for, And I think if you do that, then you're able to walk away and going, okay, is this something that I feel like is in my sweet spot? It doesn't have to be, because this is a ladder for you. So if it's just, you got to have the talent, that's non-negotiable to pull it off. And I'm going to say it doesn't have to be passion or mission based in this situation if I'm just getting in. All right. Because if it's leading me towards doing work that I love and that produces results that matter deeply to me, then this is just part of the deal. It's the ladder I got to get on. But you better have the talent to pull it off. So if you do that, those basic questions there, that's going to help you determine whether or not this is a good fit. I think by hearing you talk about it, you've already determined that this is probably a good move for you long term. And just go verify that. And then make the decision and stick with it. Like I might be on the set of Ocean's 11. I don't know why. The bumps take me places, Joe. And so good job as always. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Folks, that's just a window into my strange brain. I hear those bumps sometimes, and they create different moods. They take me to different places. And that one was maybe I had a tux on next to George Clooney right before they robbed the casino in Ocean's 11 or something like that. That was a very fun joke. I love that. You know, again, quick little thing here. Folks, use music to help you. Music sets a mood. It's a powerful thing. I wish I was a musician. But I love music to set moods. So fun stuff, Joe, as always. All right, 844-747-2577 is the number, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Janelle, who joins us in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Janelle, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Hi. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you. What's up?
So I am about to have my doctorate degree in business administration.
Wow.
With a cognate healthcare administration. And I would say next year-ish sometime. And I have no clear path of what I want to do with that degree. There's so many different paths in business, and I don't have a set target. Okay. And I'm wondering if you could help me with that.
I'm curious first to know why you don't have a target, because that implies to me that you don't have ideas, and I'm not sure I believe you. Not because I think you're lying. I just think that you're not allowing yourself, maybe there's so much doubt, you're kind of afraid to share it. You're telling me you have no ideas of the type of work? Forget job title for a moment. I think some people get locked up on job title. Who cares? What kind of work do you want to do during the day? Tell me.
I was thinking about teaching. I'm also a stay-at-home mom. I've been a stay-at-home mom for 7 years now.
Oh, good for you.
So I have zero professional experience besides the knowledge that I possess.
Okay, but tell me about teaching. What kind of environment? Are you talking about traditional education or what?
Mainly, I want to do something either in high school related to business or economics or higher education, teaching master's level classes.
Okay, so it sounds like to me you do have two targets. You told me you didn't have any targets.
Yeah, well, I have no idea where to go with it.
No, you have. You have two ideas where to go with it. You don't know how to get there. Is that what's really going on? Okay.
Yeah.
You get what I'm doing here, right? I'm trying to get your mind. Yeah. He's like you're not even saying it the right way. The reality is you have a couple of targets. You would either like to teach some type of business, economics, or something class in high school, or teach on the higher education level. So what you have to do is the first thing you do is, let's go talk to people in both of those places.
Okay.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Like, come on, Fredericksburg, Virginia. I mean, how many people do you know somebody that are teaching some type of business class? I guarantee you know enough people that can get you on the phone or an email or a text and eventually a coffee or a lunch with somebody who's teaching some type of business class on the high school level. True or false? You believe you can do that?
Yes.
Of course
I
can.
I do believe I can do that.
I know you can. So when we talk to them, what are we doing? We're going, hey, what's it like? What do you love most about it? What do you like the least? Describe your day. Describe a week. What'd you do to get actually qualified beyond, did you have to have an education master's? Did you have to blah, blah, blah? And you're going to find out, oh, this is how I get there, based on how they got there and based on maybe kind of what the traditional route is. There's your traditional route, which you could go research by just doing homework on, you know, those positions, what's required in the state of Virginia to teach, you know, this kind of class on the high school level. I mean, that's not difficult. That's all sitting there waiting for you to go find it. It's not even difficult. Easter egg hunts are harder than what you got to find. All right. So then we do the same thing on the higher education level. If I want to become an economics professor, a business professor, or whatever. Well, you think about, you got your community college system, which is a form of higher ed, obviously. And then you got your traditional college and universities. Well, You know, Fredericksburg, you're not far from several universities. So it's the same thing, rinse and repeat. This is what I call clarify and verify. The clarify part is getting and learning about the actual path and all the multiple paths, the path that person took and maybe other multiple paths, okay? And then the verify is once we learn about not just the path, but the actual work itself, and we hear somebody who actually does it successfully tell us what it's like, then our hearts go ding, 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 or eh. You still following with me, Janelle?
Yes, I'm still here. Still following.
No, I know. I know you're there. I'm saying, does this make sense to you? Like, this isn't so complex anymore. So those are just two options. Any other option you come up with, same thing. And this is the proximity principle. I wrote a best-selling book on this, that this is how we not just get where we want to go, but determine, I'm going to get around people that are doing what I think I want to do, or get around people that are doing what I know I want to do. And when I get around them, I learn, I get knowledge, I get opinion, that's wisdom, and I get connections, that's people and places. Make sense?
Yes. Do these connections have to be in Fredericksburg, or can they be out of state?
Can be anywhere. Great question. Can be anywhere.
Okay. Yeah. Because we're jumping from state to state. I was in North Carolina. Now we're in Virginia, and then we're going to go to Alabama.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter where, because the general answers are going to be about the same. Most high schools in most states are going to have a what's the baseline requirement to be a high school teacher? To my knowledge, it is a 4-year degree and then probably some level of certification, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then that's not going to be that much different. But go ahead and talk to somebody in Virginia, talk to some people in Alabama.
Okay.
But you got this. You just needed to go, oh, what do I do next to enlighten the path? And so I've given you the assignment, okay? I'm also going to give you a copy of my number one best-selling book, The Proximity Principle. Amanda's going to pick you up. We'll give you whatever format you want. Folks, this is the book that was written on the principle itself, which says in order to do what you want to do, you've got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. The formula to get where you want to go is this. The right people plus the right places equals opportunity. People go, oh, I can't catch a break. Okay, I can tell you right now, you're not getting around the right people enough. You are not putting yourself in the right places enough. Now, I didn't say this is a one-time formula. I didn't say all you got to do is one day put yourself around the right person and the next day put yourself in the right place and voila, opportunities are going to show up like a Brinks truck delivering the gold. It's not going to happen that way. This is a habitual activity. I'm getting up every day and I'm looking to connect with the right people and put myself in the right places. Because when I connect with the right people, I discover more places that I need to be in. When I get in the right places, I meet more of the right people. And so the most successful people in any industry have always understood this. Whether they call it the proximity principle or not, they just instinctively have learned, I mean, not instinctively, they have learned it. Now they're intentionally doing it, and then it becomes instinctive. I do something intentionally long enough, then it becomes an instinct. I'm connecting with people. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to get the opportunity to do. I want to connect some more. The currency for progress is and always will be connections. It's that simple. It's how you get where you want to go. Connections. It's not just the people you know. It's the people that they know. And that's how the world works. Hey, my time's almost up, but before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Kullman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, such as the Entree Leadership Podcast with Daniel Tardy.
Hey, this is Daniel Tardy, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast. We believe that small business is the backbone of the American economy. And we also know it can be really hard to win in business. So we're here to help. On the Entree Leadership Podcast, we talk about the practical ways that you can grow yourself, your team, and your profits. Join us every week as we talk to entrepreneurs, CEOs, thought leaders, best-selling authors, and more to help you on the journey of winning at business.
You can start your journey at entreeleadership.com/podcast, or you can search Entree Leadership wherever you listen to podcasts.